Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and one of our goals here at iFormRx is to explore a wide range of topics that are relevant to pharmacy practice and ambulatory care settings. Today's podcast may seem a bit off the beaten track, but the topic is nonetheless an important one. As we age, sexual function often wanes for both men and women. While there are several pharmacological and non-pharmacological means to improve sexual functioning in men, there are relatively few options for women. Only a handful of studies have evaluated the benefits and risks of various treatments for female sexual function, an issue that has received far less attention than sexual dysfunction in men. An ancillary study of the Kronos Early Estrogen Prevention Study, or the KEEPS study, examined the effects of estrogen replacement therapy on sexual function and was recently published in JAMA Internal Medicine. Joining me today to talk about the KEEPS substudy are Stephanie Nigro and Christine Demakulagan. Dr. Nigro is Assistant Professor of Pharmacy Practice at the MCPHS University in Boston, Massachusetts, and Dr. Demakulagan practices at the Greater Lawrence Family Health Center in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Stephanie, Christine, welcome to the iFormRx podcast.
Thanks, Stuart. It's nice to be back.
Thanks for having us, Stuart.
So before we get started, I'd like to talk about the case of TR, a 54-year-old female who I want you to imagine you're seeing today in the primary care clinic for a follow-up blood pressure visit. Now, during the encounter, the patient casually asks, "Can blood pressure medications cause sexual problems? I read about some of the side effects, and I'm wondering if that's why things aren't so good lately." In addition to high blood pressure, TR has a history of gestational diabetes, dyslipidemia, and she's obese. She's currently taking olmesartan, carvedilol, and lovastatin. Her current weight is 212 pounds, and her BMI is 34.2. Her blood pressure in clinic today is 128 over 74, and she reports that her home readings are consistently less than 125 over 75. She had a Chem7 and fasting lipid panel drawn this morning. Her fasting glucose was 114 milligrams per deciliter, LDL of 84, HDL of 56, triglycerides were 88, and her electrolytes were all within normal limits. So, Christine, Stephanie, before we get to talk about the specifics of the KEEPS substudy that you analyzed for iFormRx, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about some of the things that are going through your mind in this case. What additional information might you want to collect and assess during this encounter? Are drugs a common cause of female sexual dysfunction? And do you think they may be a contributing factor in this case?
Well, Stuart, when looking at the patient case, I noticed that she has a relatively high BMI. She has an excellent lipid panel. Her blood pressure is within the range and the goal. And to your question, there are some medications that can contribute to female sexual dysfunction. We'll notice that she is on a beta blocker, which could cause her sexual dysfunction or could be a cause of it. And one question that I would like to ask her is whether or not she has a history of smoking.
So in addition to some of the things that Christine just mentioned, I think the first thing that actually ran through my head was the timeline. The patient says lately, and so I'm curious to learn, is this a new problem that sort of started around the time of the initiation of these blood pressure medications, or has it been something that's been a little bit more long-term and chronic? I think it's also important for us to probe about the nature of her symptoms. What type of concerns is she specifically having? Are they concerns about desire, arousal, or general interest in sex? Or is she having some difficulty with orgasm? Or are her symptoms more physical? For example, is she having vaginal dryness that's leading to painful intercourse? But I think most importantly for me, I would really like to know if these symptoms are bothersome for our patient. Do they cause her any personal distress or any problems with any partners? I think it could be worth screening her with the Female Sexual Function Index, because that would give us, you know, some more information about the various domains of her sexual health. And obviously, considering what we're talking about today and assessing her age, you know, we need to ask more about menopause, the date of her last menstrual period, and any associated symptoms. And to kind of expand a little bit more on what Christine was saying about medications, in this case, you know, we're sort of leaning in a little bit more on her antihypertensives. But as pharmacists, we should also be thinking about other medications. Notoriously, we consider the SSRIs, but we should also be looking for any antipsychotics or narcotics or any oral contraceptives on the med list as well.
So, Christine, in the commentary you wrote for iFormerX entitled "Can Estrogen Keep Perimenopausal Women Sexually Satisfied?", you write about some of the previous studies that have evaluated hormonal therapy for the prevention and treatment of female sexual dysfunction. Can you give us a brief summary of what previous studies have shown?
Sure, Stuart. So in our commentary, we do refer to a large Cochrane review published in 2013, and it included 27 studies that compared hormonal therapy versus placebo for the treatment of female sexual dysfunction in perimenopausal as well as menopausal women. And the conclusions do suggest that hormonal therapy with estrogens alone or in combination with progestogens was associated with a small to moderate improvement in sexual dysfunction, mainly related to the improvements in which pain is caused when used in women with menopausal symptoms or in early menopause. Harms of the therapy were not assessed in this review. And additionally, other research supports the efficacy using localized estrogen therapy, whether that be creams, tablets, or rings, for minimizing painful intercourse or vaginal dryness in postmenopausal women.
So, Christine, let's talk about the results of the KEEPS. For those in our audience who haven't read the paper, can you give us a brief summary of the study design and its major findings?
Sure. So this is a 4-year prospective randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled ancillary study of the KEEPS study, specifically honing in on the effects of hormone therapy on sexual dysfunction in recently menopausal women. And they compared the effects of oral conjugated equine estrogen to transdermal estrogen with micronized progesterone, and the women were randomized in a 4-to-4-to-5 ratio, either given the hormonal therapy or placebo. The study essentially assessed sexual function using the FSFI questionnaire, the Female Sexual Function Index, and for the primary outcome, the mean FSFI score had a moderate yet significant increase by 2.6 points in the transdermal estrogen-treated group compared to placebo across 48 months. But when comparing between the oral formulation and the transdermal formulation, there was no difference in the FSFI score in the span of 48 months.
So, Stephanie, can you tell us a little bit about what you believe are the key strengths and potential limitations of the KEEPS? Are there any major sources of bias, confounders, or other threats to the internal validity of this study?
So, Stuart, some of the major strengths included the large sample size. So there were several hundred women that were randomized. It was a 4-year duration follow-up, and it was the study of a unique patient population that recently menopausal women. We didn't really perceive any major threats to internal validity or any bias, but certainly there are limitations that restrict the generalizability of these results and ultimately what we do with them. We go into a little bit more detail in the commentary, but I just really wanted to highlight a few that personally stood out to me. The first was related to distress. So distress, whether this again is personal distress or interpersonal distress within the relationship, neither of these things were evaluated. So distress is one of the key diagnostic criteria for female sexual dysfunction. So by not evaluating it, we're really still left with some unanswered questions. Namely, did these women really need treatment to begin with? Because in my mind, presumably, if a woman is not bothered by her sexual health, she'd be less likely to bring it up to her provider and seek treatment for it. And the other unanswered question is really, does hormonal therapy actually provide relief of distress? Does it improve the woman's quality of life or the quality of her relationship? And based on the KEEPS findings, I don't think we can really answer these important questions. The other big limitation for me was the use of the Female Sexual Function Index tool itself. So it is a great tool to use. It's comprehensive, but the tool is only validated for heterosexual women only. And its use also depends on women having a partner. And as we saw, up to 30% of the women in KEEPS were unpartnered. So we really don't know how these women answered the questions related to the satisfaction domain. And so we don't know if their scores, whether that be the baseline or the follow-up scores, were truly reflective of their sexual function.
So let's return to our case. Let's assume that after you've asked her some questions, you've used the questionnaire, that TR reports that her last menstrual period was about 8 months ago, and she's had some mild hot flashes, but they haven't been so bothersome that she's sought treatment. Do you think the results of KEEPS are sufficiently compelling to consider recommending transdermal estrogen in this case? In addition to talking about drug therapy, what additional patient education would you provide during this visit?
For me personally, Stuart, I'm not sure that the results of KEEPS are compelling enough to really recommend transdermal estrogen to all menopausal women complaining of sexual problems. The exception may be for women who have low sexual function to begin with, because the KEEPS study did find that the proportion of women with low sexual function at baseline was lower after treatment with transdermal estrogen. But importantly, or more importantly, I should say, what really stood out to me after interpreting the results from KEEPS is that hormonal deficiency, whether that be estrogen or testosterone deficiency, these are not the only factors that influence sexual function. And so we really need to consider things like this woman's environment, her feelings of being safe in her relationship or any other relationship issues, along with her medical comorbidities, as these really all play a role in her sexual health. So in addition to talking to her about drug therapy and those options, we should really be providing education about couples therapy or sex therapy, the use of personal lubricants, or maybe even Kegel exercises. Again, I think the counseling would be specific depending upon the concerns that she individually has. So for example, if TR were to tell me that she's having painful intercourse from vaginal dryness, I'd feel really comfortable recommending lubricants or maybe even some local estrogen, as Christine had mentioned earlier. But for those more psychological issues, if it's a lack of desire or interest, I personally feel less confident about recommending drug therapy based on the data that's out there. I think it could help, and it certainly could be trialed if the patient wants it and is motivated to use it. But I think we really need to set the expectation on its effectiveness. I think the KEEP study really just helps to reiterate the need for more study on this issue because it is indeed complex and multifactorial.
Stuart, I would agree with Stephanie in saying that the results of the study are not compelling to make a definitive conclusion. It should also be worth noting what race the patient is, since this was something that was factored in the study, what education she has completed, and compare those patient demographics with the baseline demographics of the ancillary KEEP study. While this may not be a compelling piece of information to start the patient on estrogen therapy, it is still worth noting. And in terms of counseling the patient, while it might be localized estrogen therapy, there are risks with using it. She does have risk factors, such as the high BMI. We don't know whether or not she's been a smoker. So worth noting the increased risk for cardiovascular events for women who might be started on estrogen therapy.
Well, Stephanie, Christine, I want to thank you both for joining me today to discuss female sexual function and the use of hormonal therapy to restore sexual well-being in perimenopausal women. I think it's clear from your comments that you believe female sexual function is a multifactorial disorder and that there are many things that we need to consider before recommending treatment. And you've outlined those beautifully, I think, in your comments today. Well, tell us what you think. Only iFormerX members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormerX. It's free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormerX, signing off.